Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 to 6. The title of the sermon is Christmas Preparation. And I know you know I'm always happy, I'm always joyful. The word of the day is joy, but the sermon is not going to be that. I'm already warning you, okay? Christmas preparation. Why I'm already warning you? It's because it makes sense. So, if we need a Savior, if we need Christmas, that means I need to show you the bad picture first. If things were well, we didn't need a Savior. Does that make sense? Because things are not well, therefore we need a Savior. Therefore, we need Christmas. So today it's Christmas preparation, and therefore I'm painting you the bad picture. How great things really are, and why we need a Savior. Does that make sense? Does that make sense or not? Yes or no? So, I'm not going to sound that joyful and happy, but you know I'm joyful and happy. Don't take it personal, okay? Do we agree on that? Yes, okay. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Malachi is the very last book of the Old Testament. Therefore, it's our opening door for the Christmas season. The season we are at was preceded by this book, Malachi. Chapter 4, let us read verse 1 to 3. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. There will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Let us stop here. Very quickly, what we are doing here is to understand the context. Malachi, very short, 4 chapters only. Malachi is a special book. It's different. It's not like we are doing here right now. Here right now, I speak and you listen. But the book of Malachi, it's different. It's a conversation between God and His people. Sometimes the people raise the question and God answers. Sometimes God raises the question and the people becomes speechless. Because every time God asks you a question, you usually remain speechless. So it is this back and forth. And it starts with an argument and a question from the people to God. Does God really love us? Does God really care about us? What a question to ask God. And what's God's answer? Surely I do love you. As a matter of fact, I loved Jacob and I have rejected Esau. I have loved Israel and I have rejected Esau. Jacob and Esau, they were brothers. God chose Jacob. That God does not choose Esau. And through the descendants of Jacob, through the descendants of Israel, God called a people for himself. So God is saying to the people of Israel, I do love you, and pay attention to this. I do not love you for who you are, for how good looking you are, for how nice you are, for the things you do for me, not even for if you love me or not. I do love you because I do love you, period. I chosen to love you. I have chosen you, I have not chosen your brother. You can never argue with me if I do love you or not. And then, next thing you know, God is going to ask the question. And God asks a funny question. Will a man rob God? Will a man gonna go to the God's pocket and take some money out of his pocket? And the people of Israel said, obviously not. And God has said what? Obviously, yes. You, Israel, you have been robbing me every time you don't bring to the house of the Lord the tithes and offering. The tithes and offering belongs to me. You haven't brought it in, therefore you're robbing me. I want you to obey me. I want you to bring the tithes. I want you to be generous and put me to test, the Lord says. And I'm surely going to bless you. And then this dialogue, this conversation comes to chapter 4, the end of the chapter. And now things start to get very gray. Because the question here, if you pay attention to verse 1, surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and evil, every evildoer will be stubble, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. You see here that God's talking about two different kinds of people. The ones who believe in Him, the ones who don't believe in Him. Why is God answering this? Because the people of Israel raised up a question to God. What was the question? Is it worth it to worship God? Does it make sense to be God's people? Does it make sense to come to church every weekend? Does it make sense to give our tithes and offerings? Does it make sense to have a holy life? Does it make sense to pray at all? And why are they asking this? Because they think that being a non-believer is just as good as being a believer. They look at the believer and the believer are living a good life. Things are well. The believers are under pressure. The non-believers, they are doing okay. And sometimes they think even that the unbeliever, it's getting advantage on the expenses of the believer. If you go to the big corporation, the pagan is the boss and the believer is the servant. So they're saying, is it useful? Is it profitable to worship God? Mind, this is not a question from an outsider. This is a question from someone who believes in God. Someone who goes to church. And he is questioning this. And God's answer is one element. Say with me, one element. Fire. If fire comes to gold, it makes the gold pure. If fire comes to a fake gold, it melts it. The answer of God, it's fire. Are you thinking if it's worth it? If it's useful to worship me and to serve me, I'm going to tell you the day of the Lord is coming. And when that day comes, fire is going to put everybody to test. For those who don't believe in me, aka Jesus Christ, the sermon, it's a preparation for Christmas. We are talking about Jesus Christ, who is God Himself. For those who don't believe in Jesus, the fire is going to be like a furnace. It's going to destroy them. But for those who believe in Jesus Christ, the fire is going to become like a sun. What is the sun? Every time you wake up and the sun rises, you have a new day. You have new possibilities. You know that God has given you a new day of life. When the sun of eternity rises up, that means eternity just started. That means God has come home, God has come back, and take you home. And the allegory, the symbol, is that the sun of eternity is rising once forever. The sun is going to rise up, and the sun is going to stay there, and you're going to live foreverly on the blessedness of eternity. Because why is God saying this? The people who are questioning this, the people of Israel, they have the mindset of existentialism. Everybody repeat with me, because this word is hard. Existentialism. Once again, existentialism. Okay, what does that mean? People like that, they live life and they think life, it's all and that's it. If I have 30 years, 60 years, 90 years, 200 years, no matter, all that it's having life, it's existence. Therefore, let's make the best use of existence. Therefore, let's pile so much money. Why? Because one day I'm going to die and I need to make money because existence is all I have. Or the opposite. Let me spend all the money I can. Why? Because one day I'm going to die and existence is all I have and I really don't care about anything else. Therefore, I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to travel everywhere. I'm going to make the best use of my life. I'm going to indulge myself in everything I can because all I can live is the existence. And God's answer brings them to the biblical perspective of things. There is eternity. Life, material, this here and now, it's not the end of things. As a matter of fact, these years we live here, it's just a snap on the whole eternity that God has for us. And if we read the Bible, we know that. If we read the Bible, we know we need a Savior. If we read the Bible, we don't do life just as I want to do life. We do life as He wants us to do it because we know we have a whole eternity still awaiting for us. So God is bringing the people of Israel to the right mindset. See things in the lens of Bible. See things on the lens of eternity. Does that make sense? And verse 3, God summarized everything saying this. Then you will trample down the wicked. There will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord. When it's that day, the day of the final judgment, who is going to trample down the wicked? The people who belong to Jesus. The people who believe in Jesus Christ. God is showing, I am no partial. My people get saved. Who is not mine gets eternal condemnation. So what was the question about the people? Is that the pagans, is that the non-believers, is that those who don't believe in Jesus Christ were succeeding at the expenses of the believers? But God answers, it is actually the opposite. The believers are going to trample on the wicked, just like someone tramples on ashes. It is actually the opposite. And God is bringing that to the table. But now you are a very smart congregation. Can you say amen? I want to reiterate that. You are very smart. And you're going to ask Gustavo, what does that have to do with Christmas? Christmas is about Jesus' birth, and you're already talking about the Lord's Day when He's going to close everything up. You are out of sync, Gustavo. Your time allotted, you're completely messed up. But this has everything to do with Christmas. Because remember, let us read verse 4 onward. Now the title of the sermon makes sense. Christmas preparation. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their hearts, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. You see that before the Lord's day, what God is promising, I'm going to send someone. There will be a time for salvation. I want you to be saved. I don't want you to be the wicked. I don't want you to be trampled down like ashes. Before that day of the Lord comes, there will be a Christmas season. There will be a Savior, because I want your salvation. But then, and that's why this is so important, when God sees the state of the nation of Israel, that he does an assessment. God's people think he doesn't love him. God's people don't obey him. God's people even don't believe it's worth to believe in God. They are comparing God to another gods, or to a no god, or anything. You see how the relationship between God and his people is completely off? Not because of God, but because of his people. And God is saying, we need reformation. We need a Savior. We need something to be done. And when he needs reformation, he sends his reformer. Who is his reformer? Verse 5. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah. Who is Elijah? Elijah is the figure of the Bible who comes before Malachi. And who was Elijah? He was a reformer himself. The people of Israel worshiping Baal. The people of Israel worshiping Baal. Elijah opened his mouth. Elijah brings them to an argument. Elijah wins the argument. And then the people of Israel rid themselves of Baal and they come back to the Lord. Elijah was a reformer. Therefore, what's Malachi prophesying? I'm going to need to send another reformer. The assessment I have done of the people of Israel, it's bad. We need reformation. But the reformer, he cannot come on his own. Verse 4 is going to tell us what he comes on. Verse 4 says this, remember the law of my servant Moses. Remember the law of Moses. This is an allusion to remember the Bible. Read the Bible. Dive into the Bible. What is God telling the people during the time of Malachi? He's saying this, if you read your Bible, you're never going to ask me if I love you, because you're going to see that I love you. If you read your Bible, you're never going to argue me about tithes and offering, because you're going to see that it's all there. If you read your Bible, your heart's going to be reformed. Your heart's going to be, it's going to turn to me. And you're never going to ask me if it's useful or not to serve me. You're going to know that it's very useful and profitable and good to serve me. What is God telling to the people during times of Malachi? You need a reformation in your heart. And it starts with scriptures. No matter if the reformer is Elijah, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, John Knox, no matter who is the reformer, all the reformation starts with the Bible. All the reformation needs the Bible. Reformation, it simply means let us go back to the Bible. Christmas preparation. So now let us see the nation of Israel, the assessment that was done during the time of Malachi, 400 years before Jesus Christ. Let us fast forward now 400 years later. Malachi is echoing to the people of Israel during the time of Jesus. Remember the law of Moses. Jesus is on earth. Jesus is doing his ministry. Jesus heals on the Saturday. Jesus blesses on the Saturday. Jesus delivered people from the Saturday. What does the Pharisee come to tell Jesus? You cannot do that. Why are you doing this on a Saturday? And Jesus needs to echo to their ears the same words of Malachi. Remember the words of Moses. Remember the law of Moses. Go read your Bible, you Pharisees. Where it's written that I cannot heal someone just because it's a Saturday? Where is it written that I cannot bless someone on a Saturday? As a matter of fact, the Saturday was meant to the man. As a matter of fact, the Saturday was meant to be a blessing to the man. As a matter of fact, the Saturday was made for the joy of man. But because of your traditions, you have hidden and make the Saturday a burden. But because of your traditions and your heavy and hardened heart, I cannot even heal on the Saturday. And you are starting to complain about a blessing and a good deed I have done. Why? Because the Pharisees did not come back to the Bible. Because the Pharisees did not listen to the echo of Malachi, which was by the door, which was the very last words of the Lord, which was, my reformer is coming, Christmas is coming, Jesus is coming, the Savior is coming, reform your hearts, remember the law of Moses, dive into the Bible, or else when Jesus comes, you're going to reject him. And the people of Israel, what they did? They reject him. Why? Because their heart was not prepared for the Christmas. Because their hearts were not prepared for Jesus himself. That's why the words of Malachi really sounds to us Christmas preparation. And so now I'm going to bring you to the New Testament. We have a few scriptures there. It's all on the screen, so you don't need to open your Bible. Luke chapter 1, verse 13 and 17. It says this. Oh, no, it's not in there, so we need to open. My bad. Luke chapter 13. Oh, chapter 1, verse 13. It says this in verse 13. If I find verse 13, I'm kind of blind now. Okay. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or order fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. Here verse 17, pay attention. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. There is another scripture I want us to see. It's Matthew chapter 11. And let us read verse 13 and verse 14. Matthew chapter 11, verse 13 and verse 14. And the Bible says this, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. So back to Malachi. Don't need to go there, but back to Malachi. God said, remember the law of Moses, I am going to send Elijah. Remember the law of Moses, I'm going to send a reformer. Nation of Israel, you need reformation. Nation of Israel, although you claim I am your God, your hearts are very far from me, to the point that you don't know you're loved, to the point that you don't even know if it's useful or not to worship me. Your hearts need reformation. I send Malachi, and Malachi, it's your reformer, but in the future, I'm going to send someone else. In the future, I'm going to send another reformer, and he's going to prepare the way for the Savior, because your heart needs reformation before the Savior comes. And that's going to bring us to look for our next scriptures. It's Luke chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. And we're going to see the ministry of John the Baptist, the Elijah, the reformer that God sent. And we're going to see that Malachi and Luke, the assessment is the same. It's the very same people. 400 years have passed by, same situation. Luke chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. If you pay attention to verse 1, four sons of Herod are reigning in Israel. Now, the great question I need to ask you, who is Herod? And the answer is, Herod is the man who asked all the kids under 2 years of old to die in Bethlehem area just because he was trying to kill Jesus. Was he a good man? How about his sons? Quick question. Who was the one who beheaded John the Baptist? The one we are just reading here? One of the sons of Herod. The situation that John is at, the assessment of the nation of Israel is terrifying. There is two Roman names there, Tiberius Caesar and Pontius Pilate. Remember the argument of the people during the time of Malachi? Is it worth it to worship God? Why? Because the Romans, the pagans, they are our governors. The power does not belong to Israel. The power belongs to the Romans. The power belongs to the Romans. The power belongs to the pagans. Is it worth it to worship God? That's the feeling in Israel. Not in the feeling in the heart of John, but that's the feeling of the nation, because they are being governed by someone else. This is the scenario, political. Let us go to the church. Because surely the church is going to have a good scenario. I was being sarcastic. Let us see verse. Who are the two names we have there? Annas and Caiaphas. High priests. Remember the people of Israel during the time of Malachi? They did not bring the tithes. They did not bring the offering. Their service was corrupted. Now let us see during the times of Jesus, how many high priests does the law of Moses prescribe? Two or one? Sunday Bible school. Only one. but there are two in power. It should have only one, but there are two. What does that tell us? That tells that even the priesthood was corrupted. Priesthood, it was something that was supposed to be passed through by blood. Only the sons of Levi could be priests. High priests, not all of the sons of Levi, only the sons of Aaron could be priests. But here in Israel, it became power and it became politics. You could buy your office into the priesthood. Therefore, we have two high priests exercing the priesthood during the time of John and during the time of Jesus. So even in the church realm, things were bad. That's the assessment of the nation. That's the very same assessment of Malachi. And what is the solution? The solution that God promised in Malachi. Verse 2, what does it say? The word of God came to John. The word of God came to John. What did John do? John dove into the scriptures. John remembered the scriptures. John read the scriptures, just as Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 tells you to do, tells John to do, tells me to do. And because he dove himself into the scriptures, the scriptures flooded him. Because he read the scriptures, scriptures had read him, and therefore the word of God came to John, and then he starts his ministry as Elijah, in the power and the spirit of Elijah, bringing reformation to the nation of Israel. And what is the reformation? It's in his message. Verse 3, he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Let's all of us go back, because we need to finish the sermon where we start, Malachi. Let us go back to Malachi chapter 4. And as you open, I'm going to speak. John starts his reformation talking about repentance and forgiveness of sins. His message is not the gospel of prosperity. His message is not self-confidence. Do these three little things and your life is going to be changed. He goes straight to the root, because the assessment is a bad assessment. The situation is terrifying. We need a savior. We need reformation. If you are in Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, I want you to read the last word of the Old Testament. What is the last word of the Old Testament? Loud. Curse. God makes sure for Christmas preparation, God makes sure that the people of Israel knows what it's echoing in their ears. You're going to deal with sin. We got to deal with the curse. If we don't deal with the curse, I'm going to need to come. If you don't deal with curse, the day of the Lord is going to come, and it's not going to come in a nice sun that opens the eternity for you. It's going to come like a furnace that burns. Therefore, the very last words of the Old Testament, it's a reminder to the people of Israel. There is a curse that needs to be dealt with. Our hearts need reformation. Pay attention to this. And that's the message of John the Baptist. Repentance, forgiveness of sins, because there is a curse that needs to be addressed. And the only person who can address that curse is Jesus Christ. But for you to receive Jesus Christ, I, John the Baptist, I need to reform your heart. I, John the Baptist, I need to remind you there is a curse. I, John the Baptist, need to remind you, you need repentance. I, John the Baptist, must assess you and show you that your heart needs a Savior. That's why the both of them come together. And that's why the sermon, it's a Christmas preparation. Turn your page to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Only one page. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. I'm going to send my messenger. Who is he? John the Baptist. And suddenly, I myself going to come to the temple. And who is he? Jesus Christ. Before people would receive Jesus Christ, they needed to first have their hearts reformed. They need to first to believe in the message John the Baptist was talking about. They first need self-awareness to deal with curse and sin. Verse 7 of the same chapter of Malachi tells you the heart of the book, the goal of the book. The problem is God is in a relationship with his people and his people are far from him. Their hearts are far from him. They worship God with their lips, but they do not worship God with their hearts. And verse 7 is the heart of the book. Read with me. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord. Return to me and I'll return to me. Reform your heart. Let the word reform you. Listen to the one I'm sending. Listen to the one who is preparing the way. Understand that you need forgiveness of sins and repentance. Turn your heart to me, then I'll turn my heart to you. Christmas preparation comes with the assessment that we need a Savior. I'm going to give you now an illustration. This is Malachi. Fast forward 400, Jesus Christ time. The wise men, you know the Magi, the wise men from the east, they heard about Jesus' birth and they came all the way from the east to worship Jesus. Yes or no? They have a quick stop in Jerusalem. They had to ask a question to the leaders. What was the question? Where is the king is going to be born? In which town the king would be born? And they got their answer. What was the answer? Bethlehem. Because the prophet Micah has said, O you Bethlehem, although you are the leader of the tribes of Judah, from you the Savior would come. Quick question. Did they go with the Magi, with the wise men, to worship God? To worship Jesus? Short travel from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Did they go there? No. They knew scriptures. Their hearts were very far from scriptures. The wise men from the east didn't know scriptures. Didn't know where it's Bethlehem. Didn't know where the king would be born. But their hearts, they were very turned to the Lord. I want to go there and worship him. Same birth, two different actions. There is a third action as well, Herod the king. Jesus was born. Did Herod love Jesus' birth? Herod what? Hated Jesus' birth. I want to kill. I don't want to worship. I don't want a savior. I want to kill him. Same event. Three different answers. Fast forwarding 2023. December 17th. In 8 days we have Christmas. I love it. Do you love it? Yes, you do. If you ask for a Jewish person and you wish them Merry Christmas, they're going to say what? Happy Hanukkah. Because my heart was not reformed. I don't need a Savior. The one you sent to me, I don't want it. If you ask a pagan, Christmas, do you celebrate Christmas? Yes, of course, I get a day off and I still get paid. Definitely. Ask if Jesus is in the house. No, he's not. Everybody's in the house but Jesus. Why? For lack of reformation, for lack of preparation, for not understanding all of this that Malachi was telling us. Before Jesus comes, I'm sending a reformer. Before Jesus comes, remember the law of my servant Moses. Remember the Bible. Or else Jesus is going to come, and instead of being the righteous and good day like the sun, it's going to be a day of furnace. Because you missed the day of the appearance of the Lord. Does that make sense? That's how we prepare our hearts to Christmas, knowing that we need a Savior. To conclude, I want to illustrate this with the day of the Lord. Pay attention to this. Malachi is talking only about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord, again, I told you, it's not Jesus' birth. It is the final judgment. But you see how God is very gracious. He mentions the day of the Lord, but he's talking also about the season. Not only the day of the Lord, but the season. Before the day of the Lord comes, God opens a season. Hey, I'm going to send my reformer. I'm going to send my Savior. And in this season, it's the time of your salvation. Here is the season where you can believe in Jesus Christ. Here is the season where you can truly have Jesus not only born according to the flesh, but Jesus to be born in your heart. There is a window, there is a season of salvation, so that the day of the Lord don't catch you by surprise. So that the day of the Lord is not a surprise for you. Because let me tell you this, the day of the Lord is going to be a surprise. Do you know where is the when is the day of the Lord, Uncle Crying? You're the wisest man in this place. That's why I asked you right away. If you don't know, nobody knows. Okay? But there is the good surprise and the bad surprise. What is a good surprise? When the husband buys you flour and you're not expecting, with some chocolate. Is that a good surprise or is that a miracle? Don't say it's a miracle, I'm joking. Is that a good surprise? It's a good surprise. But there is the bad surprise. The thief, the robber, he doesn't send you a letter. I'm coming to your house. He doesn't schedule an appointment. He just surprisingly breaks into your house. The Lord is saying the day of the Lord is coming and it is a surprise. It can be a good surprise because your heart was reformed and you were prepared for the day of the Lord and you have Jesus born in your heart and you love him and celebrate him. Or it can be like a robber. It can come and take you by surprise because you didn't understand that his day was coming. You didn't understand. You need a Savior. You didn't understand that the very last words of the Old Testament is, there is a curse that needs to be dealt with. And it can only be dealt with if you repent. And if you find your Savior. And who is the Savior? We're going to know and talk about him next week on the Christmas day. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us stand up. Father, we want to, in all, in so much all, We want to take heed of these words of Malachi, Lord. We don't want to argue with you. We want to make sure we know very clear how much we are loved. We want to make sure we know it is very much worth to worship you and to serve you. We do know that, Lord. And we want to dive into your word and open our hearts, Lord, so that our heart may be reformed by you all the time. May your word reform our hearts all the time. And may the day of the Lord never catch us by surprise, because we know whose we belong. We know you are a Savior. And it's a good surprise. Actually, we await for the day of the Lord. We want the day of the Lord. We want the day that the sun is going to rise, and it's going to rise eternally. And we're going to be always with you, Lord. That's our prayer, Lord. That's the cry of Malachi, and that's also the cry of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.